Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name's Will DeFreeze. Barrett Dudley, how are we doing today?
We're doing lovely after a nice little hiatus, you know? Let the people feel our absence a little bit, you know? Wake up on a Sunday and not get free content for once.
You have to leave them wanting more.
Right. And now we're back. Now we're back giving them what they want.
I don't like waking up and not having the first thing that comes to mind is posting about Retail Therapy on Sunday Scary's Instagram. It's like, it's just so built into me at this point that I kind of felt naked waking up the other day. I was like, I don't really know what to do with myself right now.
But you had Master Sunday to look forward to instead.
I did. And even more than Master Sunday to look forward to, I had my package waiting from the Masters at my house.
Oh, wow.
I felt bad. I just ran into the house and just pretty much avoided my kids and just sprinted at a box and just started ripping it open. I had to see what was going on.
Did it arrive on a Sunday?
No, it actually arrived on Friday of this week. All right. But what I learned is that if you go to the Masters and ship the stuff, it gets there in like 2 to 3 days. So it's a pretty immediate satisfaction.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not too far from Atlanta, right? You know, that's like in the zones of courier services.
Somehow got to the Midwest faster than to the American Southwest out here. I was a little shocked by the delayed shipment for me.
Well, you know, the Midwest is just a hub. It's a shipping hub. Everything kind of, you know, my
packages always get stuck in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
Every single time. It's just like, why here?
Hebron, Louisville. Yeah.
It's just brutal.
A whole bunch of spots right there.
I think all retail therapy heads know
Kentucky, Ohio.
That like what it feels like to click into your tracking and see Louisville, Kentucky right there. Just being like, damn it.
Did you know that Ohio is a new slang word, means bad?
Oh, dude, like that's Ohio.
That's if something's Ohio or yeah.
That's
yeah.
mean. That's you, just you mean
can
spirited.
Have Ohio, you can have Ohio Riz.
No, I don't
yeah,
see.
Yeah,
I,
yeah, yeah.
I can't get on board. That's like too. That's too targeted to me. And that's like that's disgusting.
Yeah, I saw this on TikTok last night.
See, I need you on TikTok because I only scroll TikTok about once a week, and I feel like because I see it on Reels next, that like you're a week ahead of me on this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I was on TikTok, you know, kind of in an ironic way because. My TikTok algo, like it can't figure me out. It can't suss me out. And I think it's because I watch everything it serves me.
Yeah.
Like I do not have that like instinctual reaction where if it like doesn't grab me in 0.5 seconds, I'm swiping. I have the opposite. I'm like, I got to see what this is about. And TikTok is also pushing far much longer videos right now.
Yeah.
So it's giving me like a lot of 3.5 minute videos and I just watch them.
Yeah.
I just sit there and watch them.
Long videos are apparently doing like really well on TikTok.
So I you know, it doesn't like for I'm not in any fashion TikToks. It's not plugging me in with any like what the youngs are doing fashion wise. It's not giving me many memes.
Mine's all dumb stuff. Mine's like typical dumb TikTok algorithm, like the most mindless it can possibly be. Like nothing on there is something that is of relevant value to me. And I also the only reason I open TikTok at this point is because someone sends me one. And then because it tells you when that person views the TikTok, I have to go back out of the app and react to them sending it so that, you know, I don't leave them hanging, Randy. Yeah. And it's just like, I just don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm on now and like, it's probably figured me out. I'm seeing Aperol Spritz content, soccer content.
All right.
Yerba Mate. Yeah, they got me pinned down.
No, they don't have me yet. They don't have me yet. So I was trying to like get on there and maybe like do some searches or something that would kind of fill them in because they're obviously having a little bit of trouble with me, but we'll see how it goes. I'll provide another update soon.
Barrett, I just realized that I didn't put this on the rundown, but a cop has been made.
Yeah.
I have finally acquired the sneakers that have been evading me for I guess years now.
I mean, feels like it at least a year and a half too.
It was probably a year ago that I ordered the pair that was women's sizing that I never re-upped on because I just couldn't stomach making this purchase twice.
Yeah.
And I did not wear them to the Masters for fear of torching them day one. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I understand the hype behind these shoes. They're very comfortable.
Yeah.
They're the Nike Tom Sachs general purpose shoe. And I finally got them in white off of StockX after trying a million different pairs of sneakers and getting nothing.
Yeah. A lot of sneakers are dropping in value right now, and the Tom Sachs GPS is among them. And I could definitely see acquiring a pair of the white ones in my future, just because they feel, as far as sneakers go. I mean, you know, we talk about like the timelessness of something like a Samba, like they're right there with me. Like I could wear the you can wear them with everything. Like it's a very 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 versatile sneaker, which I think was the intention.
It's given me somewhat of a sock crisis.
Okay.
I feel like I have to wear white socks with them, or at least a color that's like not... I've been wearing a lot of brighter socks in terms of like a red, green, brown.
Yeah.
Just louder socks, I guess, not brighter. And so now with these, I'm like, I feel pressure to really wear some crispy white socks with them until I get them fully beat up, which I intend to do, and I don't intend to keep these nice. We'll see, though. We'll see.
You need one to stock and one to rock. That's what the head.
I just don't have it like that. I'm a major wear your sneakers guy, and I've taken that position because I refuse to buy anything that I don't wear. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a loaded episode today. Presented to you by our friends over at Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. If you've purchased anything from us at Sunday Scaries or Retail Therapy, you know that we're using Shopify to take those orders and to ship everything out. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. It's so easy to make your store. It's so easy to add your products, to connect it to any shipping service that you need. So whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor gifts, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever or whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. They help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And they even have an AI Shopify magic tool. They're just utilizing AI to do this kind of stuff. It's amazing. Amazing what they're doing over there. Like I said, though, I sell all my products through Shopify. It's the easiest way to do it. It is so simple to go from point A to point B. They send you emails with necessary documents that you need. They make things easy from really top to bottom. Whether it's tax stuff you're worried about, and that's like the side of things you're not good at, they got resources for everything. They power 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs every size across 175 countries, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/scaries, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/scaries now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/scaries. I do have some good news, Barrett.
What is that?
Listener companions on the Substack are up to date. I did kind of a mass link dump the other day because I was behind on two of them and I felt bad about it. And so I sat in my pullout couch in my hotel room and I decided to just knock out some links.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not the most inspiring of moments.
You did that on your vacation?
I did. It was big. I was sitting there and I was like, man, it's been 2 weeks. Like, I got to make this happen.
Yeah.
So if you go to the link in this episode, I will send, I will be more prompt on these. And if I'm not, then just know that you might get just a monthly or a weekly dump email every couple of weeks. Who knows? But we put everything in there, from links to the products we talk about, to links to articles we might discuss, pretty much everything there. And you can also go in the link or the description of this bio and click through to watch on YouTube. We're doing numbers over on YouTube. Very happy with that. But more than anything, go follow retail.pod on Instagram. Barrett, we're right in the middle of Coachella week one.
That's right.
And Coachella week two.
Yeah.
How do you view Coachella right now?
I guess by the time the folks are listening to us, we'll be through with Coachella. We'll be at the end of weekend two.
Yeah, yeah. They might be listening at their campsite or in their Airbnb, getting ready. They're pre-gaming with the Retail Therapy boys.
So I caught a comment on the Sunday Scaries Instagram last weekend. Somebody, you know, was, I don't know if they were being facetious or not, but they were lodging a complaint, as people are wont to do on the Slam's Laptop Shut meme dumps on Fridays. And everybody likes to bring up what you didn't include.
Yeah.
Some theme of
the weekend. I might have gotten a little chippy on Friday.
Yeah, and so somebody had suggested, Big L, because no Coachella content, and you clapped back at him. And I kind of agreed with like your general feeling there about like Coach, like, are we really still doing Coachella? Like, it's been,
I feel like it's a punchline.
It feels like it's been over a decade, and I mean, you know, credit where it's due. Like, it birthed like a whole like festival style, right? Like, it's still a thing that like February, March, April rolls around, and like Revolve is like doing a festival edit. Like, it's. It made its mark and seems to have had a really like lasting impact. But So I kind of clocked that. I noted that. And then this past weekend rolled around and I was surprised to see how much Coachella content was still being pumped out on Instagram.
It made me feel dumb. It made me feel dumb for the comment that I left.
But I don't think that you should feel that dumb, because what I think kind of like was clarified for me this weekend is that at this point, Coachella might as well, like normies might as well not show up. Coachella is for celebrities.
It's so ridiculous. It's such a celeb thing.
The first 5 years, it was like very much like a, oh my God, the celebrities are descending upon this normie festival. And that's like a perk, is that they're coming down off of their, you know, off of their pedestals to get sweaty and dance with the normies. But now I feel like it's flipped. Now I feel like it's for them, and you are having to ascend.
They're like
to go.
It's almost like an act. It's almost like the celebrities coming to the shows, coming to the festival, are like another version of an act where like people are there to see that.
Yes,
and
right,
I don't like that. Like.
So on top of like how expensive it's become, how hard it is to get to, I have very little desire to go at this point, because I know that any type of living situation or transportation situation that I would be happy with will be exorbitantly expensive because of what it's become.
Correct.
Right. So it's like, I guess I'm fine with like seeing how the glitterati show up to this thing. But yeah, it's really like, it's kind of like twisted in on itself. And I'm like, as like a music venue, like as a concert, I really don't care.
Did you see Blur's performance?
Blur?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They had a song where they were requesting maybe some audience participation, or maybe they assumed that the song was famous enough on their end that they could just naturally get some audience participation.
Was it the woohoo song?
Yeah. And no one woohooed. And and he pretty much just said into the mic, like, you should probably enjoy this because we're not coming back again. And like, it was just like, yeah, all these people are there probably like on their, I hate to sound like an old guy, but I am, like on their phones, like completely not paying attention. Don't care about this Blur band. They're probably all waiting in line for like Doja Cat to come on. And it's just like, yeah, get these guys out of here.
I add to what Barrett said, I don't follow too many content creators, influencers, but anyone that was based out of California were at Coachella, and it seemed like they were sent by Coachella.
Yes.
Like they did ad deals. So
and that's the thing. All these influencers, they get a part of these influencer trips that take them there through like Revolve and stuff.
Yep.
And like it just feels like it's so corporate that like if you're just a regular patron with a GA pass, like you, I almost feel like you just feel like you would get to go nowhere within the confines of the festival.
No, like one of the stylists that I follow was posting from there, and like from what it looks like, and I don't actually know where she was posting these snaps from, but it looks like she is in like a tent, has like a booth, like a, you know, she's got a spot on the grounds to do the styling for her clients.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's a full on, like the stylists are there.
Yeah.
They're there. The glam squads are there. It's not even like a thing anymore where you have to like pretend like you're getting prepped in your hotel room like everybody else. And then you go to the festival. The stylists are just there. Because I was inundated with the content, I do need to bring up one Barry Cogan, who might be losing baby girl status. Thank you, Randy. After what is one of the worst fits I have ever seen in my entire life.
Wife pleaser with the Burberry bookends?
You can't. This is bad, Will. This is really, really bad. You can't go Burberry classic check shorts and scarf / face mask and then do the branded Versace wife pleaser in betwixt the two items. And then on top of that, you're going with the crunched, cooked Air Forces with no shows.
Barry, we know you can afford to burn one pair of sneakers to look good at Coachella. You don't need to wear these.
And so Barry looks a lot, you know, like he reminds me of myself just as far as height, shape, size, body size.
Okay, here I can see that. I get it.
And I know as a smaller dude, like, Air Force Ones, especially Air Force Ones with no shows, not a good look. They're too bulky. They're too clunky on the feet.
I'm imagining us going to Coachella or like us going to ACL or something, and me and Sally sitting there at our house, and we're like, no, Barrett and Laura are going to Uber here, and then we're going to go together to the festival. And Barrett gets out of his Uber, and like, you're wearing this, and I'm just like, oh, I'm going to have to explain this to people.
But I saw this and I was, man, I'm not going to lie. After the red carpet run that this man went on, I was very disappointed in this. If in this off-duty kit,
is he on baby girl probation right
He's
now?
He's on baby girl probation
okay.
for this.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
No
I'm
more
okay
gong
with
for
that.
Him. No more gong. For
no,
him.
you can gong him, but like another, you know, if he like shows up for Sabrina's Weekend 2 performance, and it's this again or some variation of you know.
Okay, he's on probo. That we haven't revoked his baby
we haven't
girl
revoked his gong yet. He's obviously like I'm not going to do that because of one bad fit. We all brick him.
We need them to take. But here's the thing: Elordi's not showing up bricking at Coachella if he's there.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
Thank
not.
You. Like it's just not. Yeah, it's just not happening.
It's not happening.
Does he bring a book? Pass the time in the crowd between sets.
He might bring a book.
Do you think? Okay, so he's Barry Keoghan's dating Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. I didn't know much about Sabrina Carpenter, but I did just recently see that she's released a song called Espresso, and I think she needs to get some type of campaign going so that she's getting her song put over Espresso Martini TikToks at like nonstop. Mm. If her team's not working at this right now, they need to be because she's got an opportunity here.
I mean, maybe people aren't doing Espresso Martini TikToks at the moment.
Maybe she needs to do a song called Carajillo.
There you go. There you go. Here's Barry repping Celsius. I mean, who among us doesn't enjoy an ice cold Celsius?
I didn't realize he was. Oh, never mind.
I think you're getting an even better visual of why the Ankies need to be covered up if you're going to go chonkers like AF1s.
Mm-hmm. I was getting ready for dinner the other night, and Sally looked at me and she goes, "Do you need the socks?" And I was like, "Sally, have you not realized that ever since Emrata said the thing about socks, I've worn socks every single day? Just not doing it." The only time I've worn no shows in the last however long is at the Masters, and it's because I didn't pack the socks that I meant to pack.
Yeah. Well, if you get yourself a pair of tiny shoes, though, you know, which we may cover in a minute.
Yeah, we might get there.
If you get some tiny shoes.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if you can do socks with your tiny it shoes.
Well, one issue I have with like just all this is that part of the reason I was excited to see some Coachella content is to see what people are wearing at Coachella. But I feel like all the celebrities have gone so all in on festival fashion that they're not actually doing anything like that crazy or unique or fun. They're more just going straight comfortable these days.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want to see. I mean, Taylor Swift had to have sold out. I know that they restocked the hat that she was wearing for the Kelsey Boys podcast, but like,
so is that
hat's going to be?
Is she wearing a Kelsey podcast hat?
Yep.
And what? So what does it say?
New Heights.
New Heights.
Yep.
Okay.
And to be honest, I don't know if that is the name of their podcast, and I don't know if that's just a running thing on it. But they recently restocked the hat, and I'm sure they sold a million of them.
That's nice. Yeah. Apparently, Data But Make It Fashion also commented on how this. Searches for Stella McCartney were all the way up after this as well.
Kind of surprised you can bring a bag that large into a Coachella.
Well, you can probably do. You can probably bring like a fucking suitcase in there if you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so. She probably brought it.
What type of grade are you giving Trav here?
You know, not the worst. I don't hate what Trav is doing. Like he is a celebrity trying to dress like he's just some random like music enjoyer, and maybe he is. But like
people were hating on this, but
I don't hate it. He wears things well. Like he can take things that I would never think of wearing and put it on. And I'm like, you know what? It kind of works for him. And like he has become such a likable guy across the board that it's kind of like, you know what? He's having fun. He's enjoying himself. Not a lot of hate for it, unfortunately. I'd like to hate on it more.
What's up? Where are we standing on trailer? You think this is going all the way? Wedding bells in the future.
I want to see how Tortured Poets Society pans
out. That's coming out this weekend.
Mm-hmm. 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 Seems quick.
Very quick.
Yeah. Seems quick.
I know she teased it like a couple months ago, but I just kind of thought that meant like, how does she have
the time?
Year.
How does she have the time?
She stays in the stew, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what else is this Saturday?
No.
Well, it's 4:20. But
oh yeah, my son's birthday Saturday.
Slash yesterday.
I just didn't think you were referring to
if
that.
If you're listening the day this episode drops. But for the first time, I think ever, or at least in a really long time, 4:20 Saturday, also coinciding with Record Store Day.
Oh, is it Record Store Day?
It's Record Store
Saturday?
Day on Saturday. And let me tell you what, I don't know. I'm not,
it's not in, what I need to hear
I'm
right
not
now.
In the game like you are. But you know, this past week I've been on this trip. I was on a Howard photo shoot doing some styling. Doing some just everymanning, you know, just like coordinating, helping herd the folks. And I stopped in a really cool record shop in Taos. And I was flipping through some of the kind of the rarities.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an edition of Folklore in the stacks from a record store day, and that was reselling for $360.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, I'm not sure what's dropping on, you know, on record store day this year, but you might want to get out there.
Record store day is an interesting day. I've been to two now.
Okay.
They do one in the springtime and they do one in the fall. They do it on essentially Black Friday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that I'm looking for at record store day is probably still in the store for record store or like still in the record stores today. But there are certain things that have such fanfare. And like, it does not surprise me at all that a Taylor Swift record store day drop would go crazy. Like, it makes all the sense in the world.
Okay.
There are a bunch of people there trying to get, oh, it's escaping me now. Noah Kahan.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously not a listener. I was in between two groups of people, both trying to get his album, the last record store day. And I saw literal tears streaming down a face when they sold out before we even got in the door.
he is commanding audiences. He is inciting a fervor that I don't think we've seen in quite some time.
I've only really listened. I need to listen to him more. But I once he got the Sam Fender nod on their most recent single together, I was like, okay, if he's good enough for Sam, then
I mean,
then
he's good enough for he's me. Good enough for Casey Musgraves. He's good enough for a whole bunch of other people. I mean, he's really. He's bringing it, and he was this past year's classic ACL. They always do this for one person. I don't know if they do it on purpose or if it's always an accident, but inevitably they put somebody on a stage that then blows up like within that 3 months when mm-hmm. they have the stages set mm-hmm. and the festival happens. And like, I walked by his show because we thought maybe we were gonna like catch a little bit of it, and it was so mushroomed out from this tiny little stage that like. The closest you could get, all you could hear was like tinny little reverberations from the speakers.
Yep.
Like it was an absolute mess.
That checks out. Like the young fervor for him.
Yeah.
Shocking to me.
Yeah.
Record Store Day is a fun kind of, it was kind of cool to go in there and do it though. I mean.
So do you think there's some special T-Swift Poets Record Store Day
They drop? Announced it all beforehand. So okay. I would doubt that they did that. I would doubt that they would do anything that special.
All right.
But it would be cool to see. This is not ideal.
I did cruise the bins. I did ask the guy in the record shop, "You got any Grateful Dead?" Just to see, you know.
You got to see.
So I was going to text you if there was something.
What I started doing at stores.
Sick.
Now that I have like my stable of records, I'm really trying not to buy pretty much anything, and I've done a really good job. But what I do now is I go to the record store. I find their like rarities, or some stores even have like. Rare-ish.
Yeah.
And I go to that section and I just try to find the cool old stuff that's been taken care of really well. And that's always been the most interesting way for me to go through because like otherwise it just feels like you're at a normal CD store.
Yeah.
Like you're seeing all the new stuff that comes out and that's fine. But like that for me is the reason you go to a record store, is to go see the rare stuff. And like seeing their determination of something rare kind of makes me more interested. I'm like, oh, why does this, there's a random Blink-182 album that was like $100 one day, and I was like, oh, I wonder why this one's $100. Looked it up, and sure enough, like, yeah, limited edition, hardly did any, whatever. But
what's your, so like, you know, we've each got our thresholds, our appetites. Maybe you're willing to spend $300 on a pair of sneakers. You're willing to spend $800 on a pair of super nice, like loafies or Belgians or Saint Laurent, leopard print pennies, whatever it might be. What is your, like, what's the most you would spend on a record?
I would spend on if it was a box set of, like, my favorite show, like, something that I really wanted. So, like, Grateful Dead does a lot of box sets.
Okay.
I would spend a lot of money on that.
All right.
It just depends. For a single record, the most that I've spent was, I think, like, $75 or something.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a first edition Grateful Dead record. And I was like, I think this is a good price. And if anything, it's just a cool piece of history.
Yeah.
There's a box set that I will buy one day. It is currently going for anywhere between $350 and $500. And the reason that I want to get it is because it's probably my favorite Grateful Dead show.
Okay.
I have a special connection to one of the songs from after one of my sons was born. But it was a record store day release. They clearly didn't make very many, and everyone knows what they have now. And I have never found one that someone is willing to sell for less than $400. I've done lowball offers, and it's just tough. But I think of that the way that I think of sneakers now. Like you can get your everyday beater sneakers, and you can pay, you know, $60 for some and be very happy.
Yep.
But you're always going to have that one grail pair that's just like, man, I want to spend $500 on these stupid sneakers. And so it's just a fun game to play, but it feels very similar to sneaker shopping for me. It's like, how far are you willing to go for the ultimate? But recently I had something happen where I was trying to listen to a live Sam Fender show, and I went on Spotify to listen to it in the car, and they had totally taken it off. And it was the first time that I was like, well, I'm glad I have this on vinyl so I can listen to it at my house, because I really enjoy this and I listen to it often.
And it was no longer on Spotify.
No longer on Spotify. Wow. And I don't know if they're going to release it or something, but it was kind of wild to me to have that experience of like, oh, they took off one of my favorite live shows to listen to.
Interesting.
Now I have to have it on my physical
stuff.
So it is what it is. But hey, let's talk. Can we review some spring purchases I've recently made?
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about Abercrombie and Fitch lately. And so finally, I was like, I'm going to do a little haul from here. And so I bought three different things, two of which I'll review somewhat aggressively. The first one are the premium heavyweight tees. As you guys know, I'm very much always on the look for these tees. And so I was like, I'm going to go straight to Abercrombie and I'm just going to do it. These tees looked like they were right up my alley. A little thicker, a little more cropped at the bottom. And I kind of was thinking that this was going to be the perfect tee for me. I got it in, Barrett, and I was a little bummed.
Yeah.
It was longer than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was way boxier than I thought it was going to be. And it was not... There's probably a word for this that you know that I don't know. Like the hem at the bottom, they had like the little V cut on the side.
Yep.
And that was not what I was expecting. And that just threw me for a loop. And I was just a little bummed about it. The quality of the shirt though was great. Like for an everyday shirt, if it fit me better, I would be very in on it.
So I've heard mixed reviews of this particular t-shirt, but as it happens, I also made a little Abercrombie purchase and I'm wearing the t-shirt today.
I was going to say, I had a theory that it might be.
So this is a new one that they just released. And this is the shrunken cropped tee.
Okay.
So this fits more in line with like with the t-shirts that we were talking about a couple weeks ago when I was talking about like almost like the men's baby tee thing. And I brought up like the California Arts one and the pool house one. And then, you know, I kind of came across this one when I was just cruising the site. And then I went to Abercrombie, I think just to pop it, just to see, I was like returning something in the mall. I was like, I'll pass by. And they had them And so I got to try them on and determined that for me, one size up from my normal size was perfect.
So I will say for what I bought the tee that I originally had pulled up. I did buy a medium, which I'm usually true to size in with t-shirts these days, and it fit like a large. And so like, if you are going to do it, size up, but I'm not sure I'm recommending it. Whereas I think I would rather size up in the shirt that you're wearing and that would be much more appropriate.
Yeah. And you can see obviously on the model that like, if you go true to size in this, it really is going to be that like it's snug and really, really short. So the size up got kind of like gives me that what I want right now, which is still the crop, but a little bit boxier and a little bit more room throughout. But I got the one that I'm wearing, which is the brown, and then I got a cream and I had like a coupon. I think I paid like $17 a shirt. So I feel really good about the price and I'm very, very happy to have these two tees.
They have good colors in their tees.
For summer. So
are you surprised by how fast they sell out of stuff in Abercrombie?
Yes and no. Yes, because it like Abercrombie, I think they want to be a little bit, I think they want to establish a little bit of this churn, a little bit of this hype. But at the same time, they're a brand that whose model is also to sell tons of an item.
True.
The crazy thing is, it's not crazy. My recommendation is if you stumble across this and you go to the white one here on the shrunken tee and you see that all the small sizes are sold out, just keep this page up and refresh it once a day.
Probably come back up.
I almost guarantee you your size will pop back up. Within like, you know, a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
If this thing came out 4 months ago, then yeah, it's probably not going to restock. But I think they either get like, they are selling so many of them that they're getting returns or something. They, you know, it restocks a little bit or whatever it might be. But if you do come across something that's sold out, just keep the tab open. You know, we're all tab boys here.
I don't know when I did this, but I think I thought it was going to be funny to do, and I signed up for alerts when the Ame Leon Dor cigarette case was back in stock, and I got a notification the other day that someone had clearly returned one, and I was like, why did I sign up for that? I'm deleting the shit out of this email right now. That is so dumb.
So shrunken tea, good, and the other thing I was going to say is that they're even. you know how ILD, they like were there, it's Thursday drops, and that's the same, like same time as like Supreme drops, and then mm-hmm. Palace does Fridays, but Thursday has always kind of been the big day. Abercrombie is even now like they're advertising a little bit, like on their emails, like Thursday's new arrivals day.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So they're even kind of like following the model.
They're posturing.
They're posturing. Mm-hmm. Yes. That like,
I get
you,
it.
You know, to come check the site on Thursdays, that's when we're pumping out the new stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did you get?
The other thing I got, which I was much more of a fan of, I got these 90s straight jeans.
Yeah.
I don't wear jeans a lot, and I pretty much wear the same pants every single day. And so I was like, all right, I just want to try these. Like I don't really try pants very much, ordering them online, because the sizing is just not usually something that works for me. But the fit of these was interesting enough to me that I was like, I'm going to give this a shot. And so, you can see on the screen, like they are more straight,
yep,
but they're not totally like, they still felt a little slim when I put them on compared to what I thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they were extremely comfortable. They fit very good, true to size out of the box. The fabric itself has some give to it, but it still feels very denim-y. And I think I'm going to let them stick around for a little bit.
Did you go for this brown color?
I went for the brown.
Yeah, I like the brown.
I don't know what I'm going to wear them with overall, but I will figure it out.
Okay.
And I figured my wardrobe has enough in it that can go with brown that I can sort it out. But, you know, we'll see. And I am a fan of these. Like, for $90, I think it's a great pair of pants that I can hopefully knock around and not have too many worries with. But then I paired it also with I've been looking for a braided belt for a while. I was going to buy one somewhere, and Barrett was like, why don't you just get one on like Abercrombie? I was like, okay, I'm going for the braided belt. So now I'm just all in on braided belts right now. I buy about one belt every 3 years. It's kind of an embarrassing performance for me on that side.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, belts, they're not always top of mind.
When we were in San Diego this past weekend, I decided to do a little walk through the town. I didn't really know what I was going to find, but I walked into this home store that had just really good looking home items. And I saw that they had a rack of men's t-shirts, and I was like, well, okay, this is interesting. And I felt the t-shirts, and I thought to myself, like, these are really nice. I'm surprised I haven't heard of this brand before. Went on Instagram, saw they had 24,000 followers. They had a men's shop right around the corner that they took us through and let us go into, but I still couldn't get off the tees. And I feel like it's the best hidden gem I've found in a long time when it comes to products that I like immediately fell in love with. And it's called Rowan, R-O-W-A-N. This is non-spawn. But I started trying them on, and I was like, oh, like I am definitely going to run these through for the summer right now. I tried on a couple different tees. The Asher Standard tee, which is the first one on the page, Barrett.
Okay.
Is just your classic good tee. Like there's not a lot of flash and flare to it. It's just a standard, very comfortable tee. The one that I fell in love with is on the more expensive side compared to the, I think $60 for that. Yeah. The 1955 Asher Standard tee is what I just like kind of fell head over heels for. It has like slightly distressed details on the arms. The fabric of the shirt is thick, but not like rigid. You can still move around in it, and mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like it's weighing you down. It's just a great freaking tee, Barrett. So I bought one, and I'm going to see how I like it, see how I wear it, and see if it can be something that I want to get more of. But
is this one a little bit shorter than the regular one?
No, it's not. Okay. I bought a medium, and it fits me pretty well. If I bought a large, it probably would have fit me just fine throughout the shoulders and everything, but it would have been really long.
Yeah.
And so I went with the medium. It kind of makes me look like I have weak shoulders, but the only way to fix that is by, you know, working out my shoulders and not having weak shoulders. So it is what it is. But it was like so encouraging to walk into a random store and like see a product that I loved that I wasn't being marketed on Instagram for the first time in forever.
Yeah. Well, now you probably are though.
I definitely after I hit the follow and probably purchased something, and now I'm just getting hit all the time.
But, okay, I didn't get a chance to investigate too much on the site. I did see which brand you were gonna tell us about, but now I'm really curious why this one is 105 and the other one is 60.
I think it's a fabric play.
Okay,
like I
that's
think
a big di- that's it's a big difference.
I was very surprised when I saw one was 60 and one was 105. It was a huge difference. There's also part of me that wonders if this. The 105 is maybe an older shirt, and the $60 ones are kind of a newer style.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder that, maybe if they hone that in a little bit.
Also curious if it's potentially made in the USA versus not.
That's a good question. It's a good question.
So
I didn't do my due diligence there either. I just fell in love with the store and went off.
This is out.
Yeah, the store's California in Rancho way. Santa Fe. Yeah. And not no offense to Rancho Santa Fe. It's not exactly the most bustling town. And so to find a store this cool, kind of in the middle of a bunch of shops that didn't really seem to be totally open. I was like, just kind of blown away.
Yeah.
We pivot.
Good to know about.
I've been very entertained by someone on Instagram, and it's someone that I think we actually discussed somewhat recently.
We did. We did. Yeah.
Keith McNally. He owns Balthazar in New York. Very, very New York restaurant. Probably about as New York as it gets when people think of New York restaurants.
Balthazar, Pastis, other, and I believe several other, you know, like kind of like institutional New York restaurants.
This man's out of control. I've always had a running conversation about him with good friend of the podcast, Emily, my sister-in-law, just because he's very unhinged and will pretty much say whatever. It doesn't matter if it's about an employee, about a rude patron, about anybody at his restaurant, he will just post about it. And then he'll post like a really nice, like employee of the month, the dishwasher from back here. And it's like, okay, you just like, you're unhinged. Well, this morning I got online and I saw that he was just absolutely going at Lauren Sanchez for absolutely no reason. Like he posts about her and like essentially puts the meanest caption you can have about someone on Instagram. It says, does anyone else find Jeff Bezos's new wife, Lauren Sanchez, absolutely revolting?
All caps. Absolutely. What an revolting, ugly all and caps.
Fucking smug looking couple they make. Is this what having $1,000 billion does to people? Like, okay. did she give like a negative Yelp review?
He went carousel on him with this one.
Keith McNally, lots of in pictures. His photo stream, he's deleting photos of Lauren Sanchez right now that he posted to Instagram.
Like, look at this. Did he go all 10? I mean, very, very strange. Can we also talk about like the very top comment from Chrissy Teigen?
Oh, yeah. No, now people are showing out to defend.
Who says, she's actually incredibly dynamic, accomplished, and kind. And everyone who knows her would say the same. I mean, really, like that, like that's a defense right there.
Oh yeah, you know. Oh yeah, hand up. I've always thought that Lauren Sanchez looked like a good hang. She seems like she's a pretty engaging person. I need to know what spawned this post from him. What was like the final point where he was like, I have to go in on her. I hate this.
Yeah, the comments seem pretty unanimously in her favor. So,
yeah, I think it's probably true. And here's the thing that I've learned about Keith throughout this entire time. He don't care. He does not care. About once every season or maybe a couple times a year, he always does a post that I linked it to you, Barrett, where he just pretty much just posts, I'm getting off Instagram. This year, it was on February 29th, and it just said, have to hit the skids. Going to be off Instagram for 6 weeks. Off text, email, and direct message too. Please respect this and don't contact me. To my friends and family, do not contact me until May 1. I'm serious. Thanks and apologies. He disappeared for a little bit, but then he just got right back to it. And it's certainly not May 1st at this point. But I love the hard announcement going off the grid for like a couple of weeks and then just going back and like raining on billionaires' wives.
So this dude is just like, he's just unhinged.
The way that he uses Instagram is unlike anyone I've ever seen in my life. I've got a couple more posts outlined for him. Like, I don't know. He posts like if I'm a restaurant guy, I'm probably just like not posting the thing that we have like the least quantity of, but they have a black label burger that I just kind of really want to try now, especially because you know, your boy loves some rare meat. But like they only have two of them per night.
Two.
Wow.
So if you're the first person to sit down, I guess you better order this.
Like that's the thing. Like now that I know there's only two, like now I have to have one. And like, so if there's only two, does that mean you have to get there at like right after happy hour ends and you can hope to get a burger? Like what time is the perfect time?
Yeah.
$28 for a limited edition two person burger. Ain't that bad when you, all I things mean, considered.
Sure. No. What's on this thing? Is that like some onion bacon jam or?
It appears as though there is. It looks delightful. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This looks a little too rare for me personally.
But yeah, I was raised on rare ground beef. And so it doesn't bother me like it does the common
folk. Was that on purpose or your parents are just like undercooking the beef?
No, like, okay. My parents are my mom's going to kill me for this. But there was like, I don't know what happened. And I thought it was normal for pretty much my entire life. People are going to be so fucking disgusted by this. But for the longest time, it was very normal in our family to just take a pinch of the ground beef, toss some Lowry's salt on it, and take a little bite of it.
Okay.
Just do it over the sink.
You are going steak tartare style with it.
So I didn't know this was not done in most families. Once I did it in front of somebody and they were like, what did you just do? I think it might've been Sally. She was like, you can't do that. Like you're going to get sick. And I was like, well, I've made it this long without getting sick. It's not a big deal. That being said, when I order burgers now at restaurants, I go medium. I can't do medium rare burgers at restaurants.
Do you think, I always have like a thing, like I think expiration dates are at minimum like giving themselves a buffer of like 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, it's a while.
But probably like 6 months. And I'm not talking about like milk. Obviously, like you can tell that milk goes bad. Mm-hmm. But on things like I don't know, like mustard.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, don't care. Condiments doesn't matter.
But that's the thing about like meats, right? It's like, yeah, usually you're not going to get salmonella. Like usually you're not going to get E. coli or listeria or whatever.
I feel like I'm much more likely to get it from lettuce at this point than meat.
Right. But yeah, you definitely were rolling the dice there with those raw meat caviar.
Yeah,
bumps.
No comment. We just lost some listeners. To put a little bow on this, can you actually click into his post about his apartment? Because he does have one of the most pleasing apartments in New York City. When you think of like a rom-com apartment, it's really what he's got right here. I think it was featured in Architectural Digest recently, so he's got like some actual pro photos of it. But usually he's posting photos of it, and I'm like, I would love to live here. I wish I had the eclectic style to put a bunch of pictures on the wall like that and have it look good, but I feel like it would just look like shit.
Yeah, well, this is a lovely apartment. I'm sure it's in a wonderful neighborhood in New York City. Costs more than I could ever dream about affording. I'm kind of ruined on New York real estate at the moment, and that is thanks to the apartment and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is light spoilers here for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which you should have already watched. But if you haven't and you don't want to know anything, skip ahead a few seconds. But like in the final episode, when they start talking about all the real estate things and like how they've done to it and like how it would have cost them $35 million mm-hmm. to do all the work they did to it and put in the pool and put in the underground bunker mm-hmm. and the media room. And then like after that, they kind of go through the house in a sequence of escalating events. Like I can't stop thinking about that
place. It's cool. It's in a show that has so much cool stuff going on. Yeah. It is the coolest part of the show. Like, it just makes you want to have a $1 billion apartment in New York City. Yeah. It's just so cool.
And this one just kind of like feels like borderline cottagecore in comparison.
It's true. It's true. You know? Something tells me he doesn't spend much time there these days.
Maybe not. He's too busy just like hanging out in the subway, firing off posts about how revolting Lauren Sanchez is.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. I feel like he got off Instagram for that time and just went to like some random house in like no name city, Florida, and just like vibed out for a few minutes.
You did make a comment though that I wholeheartedly agree with. Many people, including Keith McNally here in this apartment, have a je ne sais quoi about how they can like, they're able to make messiness attractive in a way, right? Like mm-hmm. the curation of kind of random assortments of things and all of that is like incredibly well done and feels like it makes sense. I was just recently in a house that felt like this. I was like, man, everything is kind of like eclectic and scattered, but it's working. Mm-hmm. I don't have that.
I don't have it right now.
Yeah.
I think I just need to acquire more stuff that I love instead of just stuff. Because like some stuff that I'm still putting on the walls of our place, I'm like, the only reason I still have this is to cover a wall mm-hmm. in our place. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't love this.
But you got to start somewhere, right?
Yep. And you know? So I'm hoping that one day I can have like a den or something that just stacked up with things and just feels kind of like historical and stuff like that. Barrett, a post came up on Substack the other day from Amy O'Dell. I'm sure we've talked about her before. It's from Back Row. And I wanted to go through it quickly with you because I had a personal experience with one of the versions of these shoes recently.
Okay.
I walk in and we were getting ready to leave town and Sally was trying on some stuff that she had ordered in order to go on vacation. And I walk in and she's wearing the row two, photo one, scroll up a little bit.
Right here.
Shoes, essentially.
Row she's two, not wearing row the ones. Two, photo one.
She's not wearing the ones from the row.
Okay.
But she's wearing a knockoff of the ones from
these
the row.
These right here?
Yes.
The full meshies?
The full watermarks?
Yeah.
And she look. I look down and she looks at me and she goes, do you like them? And I was just like, no, I really don't. Like, I don't know what I hate about these, but there's something I hate about these. They're like ballet slippers that go up way too far on you, but are totally sheer. There's just, it's so unsettling to me. Imagining someone walking through a puddle in these just gives me like the creeps.
Yeah.
I just feel so bad for them. But I got this email and I was like, oh, Sally, it's the shoes that you were looking at. And I was like, okay, we just got to go through a couple of these.
Yeah.
Like the top things that Amy Odell has isolated here are that are popular as far as women's footwear goes this season. Mesh and see-through flats.
Yeah, that's the one we were just talking about.
The
that's
mesh where, stresses yeah. me out. I don't like anything mesh because I'm afraid it's going to get ripped or ruined pretty much immediately.
Okay. I like this. I'm in on this one.
I think I like the idea of it more than what I thought when I originally saw them on her feet.
I especially like the kind of the see-through ones here, I think. And then when you get into like, okay, some of these shapes, you know, with the kind of cutout vamp and then the strap.
Yes.
These are looking a little too water moccasin-y for me, you know, a little too, what are they called? Aqua socks. But these, and now I think you've indicated that these are from the row.
I believe they are, yeah. Okay.
And then so I, you know the I'm not sure what.
Oh, I'm sorry. Those are Kate.
Kate. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That those makes are it, Kate.
That makes a lot of sense because I pretty much like everything that Kate puts out at the moment. Most of them.
Here's the thing. I think I like the idea of these. I just don't think I like them in practice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's the toes. I think it's the visible toes that are still covered.
Yeah.
Like they're suffocating. They want to get out. Let them breathe.
It kind of like when somebody puts like a pantyhose over their face to do bank robbery.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's exactly it. It's like there's something like that. Like they're covering their feet to go into like a medical situation, but they don't have shoes on.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I can get in, but I'm currently not. I'm not in currently.
Not in yet. Okay.
Right. Wedge is apparently in. I've always struggled with the wedge when it comes to like the cork side of things, but I do really like the black YSLs here.
Same. I like a wedge sandal, but the this is what. Let's see. This was at. Let's see if I can clockwise from top left. Okay. Yes. This was at the front row of the most recent Chloe show, and they had everybody show up in the massive like either cork or wood wedge, and this is still too. This is still too fresh in my mind from all the girls wearing this type of shoe.
Did they intentionally have them show up like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like this backfired on them because all I saw was people posting being like, Fashion Week is so stupid. Everyone's wearing the same thing because some people didn't have them and some people did. Like they're...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that like when you're invited to sit front row at Chloe and you're a female celebrity, they like... They're giving you the clothes to
that
wear.
Sounds great.
And so I think that they're... And so they obviously gave everybody the wedge. Like, that's what they wanted people in.
We got to sit courtside at a fashion show sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. But this particular version of the wedge feels so, like, just very, 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 like, 2005 in my mind. And
Why it's in?
What's up?
Is that why it's in?
Well, you probably, yeah, because we're doing the Y2K and 2000s thing still. I just can't do it. Like, I cannot imagine how you would style these and not look like you're doing 2000s cosplay. Like I can't make this modern for myself. You know what I mean?
It gives Hilary Duff Lizzie McGuire days.
Right. Yeah.
And you know how much your boy loved watching Lizzie McGuire. So take that as you want. I'm in on kitten heels. I've always liked a kitten heel.
I'm out on kitten.
They stress me out because they're pointy and long and weird and like, but there's something about it that I like.
Okay.
It's sexy to me.
I understand the practicality and I'm not fully out on a kitten heel. I understand their function, but I'm sour on them right now because in this most recent season of The Bachelor, a lot of the girls were, they got to stand for hours at those roast ceremonies. Like I get it. They need to be comfortable, but they started wearing like more and more like glamorous, you know, gowns and stuff. And they were still doing like these low kitten heels with them.
Do you think that's wardrobe telling them to do that? Like, hey, ladies, we're going to do a lot of walking today.
You're going to be on your feet for 6 hours here from 10 to 4 a.m.
Like, hey, Tiffany, you're going to a cliffside and dancing on it later. Maybe wear the kitten heels.
Yes, probably. So it's not fair for me to hold it against them. But the look was so jarring that I'm just kind of soured on them right now.
Yeah. I like the ones in the photo, like the ones that she's isolated for this season. There's something about it that I like. I don't know.
This white pair here is my favorite.
Yeah. 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 I understand the kitten heel.
Okay.
The asymmetric toe-freeing heels, which is... I've never seen anyone wearing these, Barrett.
I want to like these. I really do. I don't think I do.
Well, these just feel like you'd have to fit your... They would have to fit perfectly in order to be pulled off.
I like asymmetry. something about this is not like, you know, you mentioned the toes trapped in the mesh mm-hmm. just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something about these is like, I don't want to see three of your toes. I want to see all of them or none of them.
It's a little, yeah. It's unsettling. It's unsettling. I'm so glad we don't have to face these choices in life, Barrett. Yeah, it's so stressful to think about all these shoes and like all the choices that you could possibly have in the world.
Yeah, but don't you also wish that you had so much of the, you know, like so much optionality?
Technically we do. We just don't take it. We could be wearing kitten heels out with the boys, but we're just not doing it.
Kitten heels with the fellas?
Yeah, we're one Alordi kitten heel away from just mobbing.
That's true.
I mean, the other things they have in here are like ballet sneakers, which I mean, we'll talk more about sneakers being turned into something else in a little bit. I'm out on mop shoes.
I'm out on mop shoes.
I mean, she just straight up included photos of mops here. So, you know, I think we understand where she stands on the mop shoes. But obviously, and then cowboy boots and skinny sneakers. Cowboy boots could not be, it's going to be a big summer and fall for cowboy boots, I think.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. But it was happening before Beyonce, too.
It was.
I'm not, I don't want to take away any credit from her. She, you know, she iced the cake, basically. She put it into the mainstream. But this was happening. We were talking Western boots before Cowboy Clark.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, definitely in on Western boots. And then skinny sneakers, tiny shoes. Yes. Most of the listeners of our show, you're probably up on your shit already. But if you're ready to move on from the Samba, the one that I keep seeing, like the it girl he's wearing is the Onitsuka Tiger.
Okay.
This little guy right here is the new, like, I'm past the Samba.
Okay.
Shoe.
Okay.
Yep.
Mental note created.
Yeah. Let's go back real quick. This the ballet sneaker. This is classic. Like, it looks cool and of the moment now. It will look dumb in 5 years.
If you could go down to Articles of Interest and click on the final link under that, Barrett, we've got the New Balance loafers that have been announced today, mm-hmm. The New Balance 1906 Ls.
Yeah.
And
this is not a custom. This is legit coming from New Balance.
I believe it is. I believe it is, because all the accounts that we're talking about it were accounts that I don't think they would be just tweeting out like prototypes or whatever. I mean, just like customs. I don't want to live in a world where this is commonplace, I don't think. So I saw someone tweet that Steve Jobs would have loved these.
Yeah. They're something. They are something.
If I saw somebody walking down the streets in New York and they were wearing these and they were wearing some jeans and like a nice coat and they were just absolutely cooking somewhere, I'd be like, you know what? Good for them.
I was trying, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I was trying to think of who would or could wear these. And you know who would? Gian.
And he'd probably pull them off pretty fucking well too. Like,
could you not see him wearing
these? You can't wear these without living in New York. Should we buy him a pair?
I think you could live in like Atlanta and get these off too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, there is a world where I can see some like nice chunky socks in the middle of fall popping out of these things and I'm like pleased with it. But there's also just like, why are we doing penny low for New Balance?
I
don't
know. I can see the Fratlings kind of grabbing onto these, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That would be something. That would be something.
Yeah. Yeah. In maybe potentially more exciting news from New Balance, at least for Kendall Roy. Did you also see an announcement that they are collabing with Loro Piana?
No.
Yeah. Sneaker rumored to be coming in at a retail price of $1,000.
I was going
to
say, I can't wait to not afford those. Let's go.
I don't think there are any photos of them yet. Just the collab announcement.
That checks out. Should we do the rest of the articles of interest?
Yeah, let's go through.
We can be quick. Dumb phones. As we know, people are into these, but New Yorker did a write-up on them the other day that's just like pretty much saying young people are just loving these things. I
have a coworker with one.
Is he young?
I think he's our age. Maybe a couple years younger.
Does he have kids? Sorry, I'm not trying to dox this person.
He does now. Yes, he does.
Oh man.
He does, yeah. And he's dumb phone certified.
Oh, I'm jealous.
He has the one that I think the one that they talk about a little bit in this article. Like it's called the brick or something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a new, it's not, a lot of people are like retrofitting old Nokias or finding flip phones or whatever like that. And then there's the other, there's a company making like a dumb phone basically. Yeah. And that's the one he has. No, to answer your question, I couldn't go back.
I don't think I could go back. I like the idea of being able to go back and not have it, but like, there's just too much going on. I would have to truly live somewhere, like not off the grid, but I would have to live somewhere where I wasn't trying to get directions everywhere. I wasn't trying to get an Uber ever. Like, I would have to live somewhere where my life was so simplified from a moving around and just everything standpoint with kids. Oh my God.
Well, here's like, yeah, one of the things that I think about, right, is like, okay, so you could maybe do this if you replaced all of the things that your smartphone does with more antiquated technology. Mm-hmm. But then that's just such a heavy lift.
Yeah.
So like you're getting like that mean like maybe you have the GPS on in your car, the program in your car, but we know how kind
of
terrible.
Has anyone ever used the GPS that comes native in cars? It always looks so terrible.
It's awful. It's awful. So you'd have to use that. And then obviously like maybe a simple one is that, you know, you got your watch now, right? You get your watch back on. Now you need a, like probably like an iPad stash,
so
stash
I went
somewhere.
I went 1 month without a phone, an iPhone. And all I did was text from my iPad. So I'd bring my iPad to work. And if I needed to respond to something, I'd do it there. I didn't really tell people I had my iPad on mm-hmm. me at work and stuff. But like the times that it was most evident that I didn't have a phone was when I would step out and no one could get a hold of me because yep. I didn't have a phone for a while. Having a dumb phone would have been nice for me in that scenario. But like the freedom that I felt when I would leave the house, not having a phone, not, and this was when I was living in Michigan. So I didn't have to get directions anywhere. I didn't have to do anything. Like I was walking home from the bar. Like I felt like everyone had to seek out me if they wanted to hang out and I didn't have to do any work. It was kind of nice. Huh. But I don't think anyone would call me if I just didn't call them at this point.
Yeah, I was
point.
About to say, yeah, nobody would, I don't think anybody would seek me out.
Yeah, people would forget I existed if I slinked into dumb phone life. So I'm not at that point in my life anymore.
Yeah, I think my replacement of this or my suggestion to kind of like get the same thing is every once in a while, maybe you should leave the house without your phone.
Yeah.
Go to the grocery store, you don't take your phone.
Yep.
I don't know, some shit like that.
I leave in the car a lot these days. I'll tuck it away just for certain things. And I read an article before going to the Masters about just one person's take that one of the best things out there is people out there enjoying what's immediately in front of them and no one's on their phone. Like it is truly a benefit. I didn't really think that when I was out there because so many people had cameras and stuff, but it was kind of nice knowing that like, hey, I'm going with three other people. We're all going to put our phones in the hotel room and never look back.
I think that's very cool. I saw some commentary online about and suggestions for like other venues and concerts and festivals should adopt that as well. Mm-hmm. And I do think some of that would be pretty cool. I've got tickets to a comedy show next month for the first time in a, I don't know how long. And it's at the new comedy mothership or whatever in downtown. And like, it's a spot where like you go in and they make you put your phone in the little,
I've never been to something like that.
In the dark case that you can't unlock. And like, I don't know, like that's kind of cool.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
Do you keep that case on you?
You do.
And you turn it in at the end of the night?
And then you bring it back to get it unlocked. But yeah, you keep your phone on you. It's just in a case that you can't open.
Second question, who are you seeing?
I don't know.
Oh.
He's a guy. He's got a name. He's the headliner, but I've never heard of him. This comedy mothership place in Austin. I think I'm sorry. I'll let you know. I feel semi guilty about it. But like, it's Joe Rogan's comedy place.
Definitely Rogan's comedy place.
Are you familiar with this?
I know who he is.
Well, it's like fucking borderline impossible to get tickets.
I know. People have asked, like, have you been? And I'm like, no, I don't know.
So we wanted to go with a couple of our friends, and we basically just like had to pick a date 8 weeks out, and we're like, can we get tickets on that Friday? And we could, so we did. Mm-hmm. But that's how it goes. Like, you don't like for a show in 2 weeks or for this Friday, like you're not getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
But I'm excited.
Maybe
I'm
one
excited
day
about that.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
The other, or I guess the only other thing I had on here for articles of interest was something you sent to me.
I did
last week.
I sent this to you. Yeah, I sent it to you so that we could, so I wouldn't forget to talk about it. And then you, thank you for putting it in here because guess what? I did forget. And this is just a tweet from somebody that says that has shared some photos of Jacob Elordi holding coffee, and she says his ability to hold two coffees in one hand is very appealing to me. And in every single one of these photos, he is gripping two iced coffees, or I think one regular coffee. Nah, one regular, one iced, in one hand. And how is this not a challenge yet? I feel like this should be like a new TikTok challenge, is the Elordi challenge, where you have to walk around just, you know, absolutely manhandling two iced coffees in your hand. But I get, I like, It does look cool. He's kind of swagged out when he's holding two coffees.
This is unspeakable, Riz. It's like, you can signal so much having two coffees in your hand. Like, there's a lot of implications here, and like, it's just truly amazing, Riz, here from him.
And it does look very like, I think I could do this. I'm pretty sure I've done it before, but the way he is just, it's no problem for him.
Oh yeah, he's turning corners at a fast pace, and these coffees aren't going anywhere.
No, they're not going anywhere. He is in no danger of one of these like slipping out as he reaches to open a door or anything like that.
He is absolutely mogging on people like me who take the carrier and put two drinks in the corners and walk out like that, like a total dork. Like, he is just like big handing everywhere right
this
now.
This first photo especially, he's got his, you know, sling man bag. He's showing out with the teardrop quads, like our guy Paul Mescal. Big sode for the.
Oh, Randy hit the gong so hard it flew off the table.
That's what happens when we name three baby girls in one episode.
Yeah, Randy got overwhelmed.
Yeah, gets knocked off of its perch. But yeah, this is so just an alert to the fellows out there. You know, if you're cruising around town and you want to get a little swag on and you can pull this off, maybe try holding two iced coffees at the same time.
If there
just
was a
see what happens.
If there was a paparazzi parked out of the studio every single day, they'd see me with my tote bag over my shoulder, one coffee in my hand, absolutely struggling to get my keys out of my bag to unlock the door. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah. So, all right, wish list.
Yeah.
You got any wish list items today?
Here's the thing, Barrett. I don't have much on my wish list right now. Like, the only thing I actually want to add on my wish list, which I guess I will add, is I think I just want to get another T-shirt. I think I'm going to get another color in the
Rowan T-shirt.
Yeah. Like, okay. I want more. Yeah. I wore it all day Sunday after on the flight and at home. And when I got done wearing it and I put it in my laundry, all I could think of was, I think I want to go do laundry right now so I can wear this again.
Wow.
I think I might need to get another one in the mix.
Wow. I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't have any high priority wish list items at the moment. Honestly, it's been a very slow month for me, and it's looking to be like another slow few weeks. I'm looking for that opportunity. Like, I don't have anything to wear something to.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm trying not to buy something just to have, you know, the shop notification.
Yeah.
Of something, so I can follow the tracking.
Dude, I'm addicted to that app.
And then have the sweet, sweet dopamine release as a package arrives at the doorstep and I rush home to open it.
Mm-hmm. The only event I have on the calendar between now and a month from now is Dead & Company in Vegas. And
You need something for that.
I already have too much shit for that.
You already got for that?
Yeah. If I buy any more Grateful Dead stuff, Sally's going to kill me. So I'm on a spending moratorium there.
But I will tell you what, I will, for the listener digest, folks.
Yes,
I'm gonna pick something wild off one of my wish lists,
okay.
And I'll put it in the listener digest.
Okay.
But no need to talk about it here now.
I'll put shirt link in there too.
Cool,
because I actually do want that on my. I for some reason I'm having trouble remembering the name of Rowan. I always want to call it Marlo for some reason.
Don't know why.
I have no clue. All right, that's all she wrote for today. We will be back on our regular schedule, so no worries there. But sorry about the vacancy last week, but the boys were out doing their thing. Barrett was grinding and I was having fun. So
sweet.
Back at it. See you guys next week.
See you soon.